specialized kind of nerd.
Now, come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up, y'all.
N-E-R-D up. N-E-R-D up.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson.
Nerd Up. Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson, and here we're going to talk about the dead. Well, the Days of the Dead, anyway. We've got returning guest Adolfo Duarte. He's back talking Days of the Dead, Indianapolis. And wow, what a lineup. Well, first of all, welcome, Adolfo. How's it been for the last year?
Pretty good, man. Thanks for having me on again.
I always see your posts about different shows that you guys got going on around the country. And I'm like, okay, looks like the season's getting close to coming back to Indianapolis. And sure enough, this coming weekend, the 22nd through the 24th, Days of the Dead, Indianapolis. Are you looking forward to this one?
Absolutely, man. Indy's always a fun show for us because it's where we started, and we always get a good reception there. And the it kind of almost feels like a hometown crowd, even though most of us are from other parts. But it's kind of like the homecoming reunion for us.
That makes
it's
sense.
Awesome.
Yeah. I didn't realize that's where you guys started, so that's nice to know. Now this year, I mean, you've got Nightmare on Elm Street 3 reunion, if you will. That's got to be a fun one there. How'd you guys manage that? You just, hey, we need you guys here. How'd you work that out?
Oh, we've been working with different members of that cast off and on at various shows. We had a couple of them at one of our LA shows a few years ago. Heather's been at quite a few of our shows. A couple of the other ones like Ken Sagos and Jennifer Rubin have done them on their own, but we never did it together and never did it with so many of them. And it just they're all repped by the same person. It was just a matter of getting their schedules to kind of align. And when they let us know that they were all kind of available for it and wanted to do it, we couldn't pass that up at all.
No doubt. That's going to be a really nice treat for the Indianapolis folks. And first of all, Heather Langenkamp, what a great one there. I mean, she was in the very first one, and she's always a favorite for anybody that that looks back at the Nightmare on Elm Street troupe. But having her there alone, it's like having Linda Blair at a Days of the Dead event. It's like she's an icon, and the rest of the cast. It's just going to be a really cool show. Well, a reunion. So they're going to have like a panel with all them.
Yeah, we actually have a panel. If I'm not mistaken, I believe it's on Saturday. I can kind of look it up during the interview while we talk. Okay. But they had we did them in Charlotte most recently, and it was a blast, man. All of them together on stage at one time. It's a lot more fun than just having Heather or just having two or three of them. It really opens up the kind of things you can talk about, and they all remember the movie from their own particular vantage point. So having the entire group up there being able to share the various aspects of filming from their perspective is really cool.
Yeah, I can imagine. So that would be just like you said, each one of them remembers a different aspect of it. And then I know going to other panels before and previous previous Days of the Dead that some of the actors are like, oh yeah, I remember when you did this, and then the other one goes, oh my god, I forgot. You get like a whole, like, we're inside the behind the scenes, if you will. As the audience, we get to watch these guys talk amongst each other.
Yeah, that Dream Warriors panel is going to be at Saturday, 2 p.m. I finally dug that info up. Definitely not one to miss.
What other panels do you have going on for the weekend?
We got a whole bunch. We got Gene Simmons is doing one Friday at 7. He's kind of kick us off there. We got a Twin Peaks panel with Ray Wise, Kimi Robertson, Harry Goaz, and Cheryl Lee. We've got Ted Raimi's doing his one-man show, which for those people who haven't seen that, he's gone to various other conventions and done it, where it's essentially an unmoderated, just kind of like Ted, you unleash him on the stage and he takes it over like a whirling dervish, and it's part comedy show, part Q&A, interactive with the fans. It's a blast. It's a total trip in itself. We got Ernie Hudson's doing a panel, the Dream Warriors panel. We've got Sid and Bill, obviously. They're we got them on every show. They're absolute classics and in the genre of over the last 40 years, and it wouldn't be a show without them. We have a fun panel happening that I'm pretty excited about with Alan Oppenheimer and John Cassier doing kind of like a voiceover acting panel. For those that are unfamiliar, John Cassier is the voice of the Crypt Keeper, mm-hmm. and Alan Oppenheimer has done everything from Skeletor to he was Falcor in The Neverending Story. I mean, both of those gentlemen have done dozens and dozens of characters in film and cartoons, over the years. And having them on there, I think, it's the first time we've done something like that. So I'm pretty stoked about it. But yeah, our schedule's pretty packed with all sorts of fun Q&As this time around.
That sounds awesome. And I'll tell you what, going to some other cons throughout the years, I noticed that voice actors have really taken a rise in a lot of these cons and really becoming, hugely popular. I mean, after all, who doesn't want to meet the voice behind Skeletor? I mean, come on, that guy, that's got to be awesome. I'm glad you guys are doing those, that's for sure. Now, I was going to, you brought up something. You got a little Twin Peaks reunion, if you will. You got Harry Goaz, you've got Ray Wise, Cheryl Lee, and, I forgot her name, played Lucy, Kimmy Robertson.
Kimmy Robertson.
Yeah.
You got it.
And with them doing a panel, I mean, oh my gosh, I just can almost hear the Angelo Badalamenti soundtrack coming in as they walk through. Now, you've had Cheryl Lee out there before. In fact, that's one of the first Days of the Dead I went to that she was there, and I got to meet her. I'm looking forward to meeting the rest of the, especially Harry Goaz. He was so great as Deputy Andy. I mean, really, you've got me intrigued. But let me tell you this. Long-term Kiss fan, before I was even a horror movie fan, long-term Kiss fan, and Gene Simmons, you got him coming in. And on top of that, you got Vinnie Vincent, who was briefly with them. Now, I understand there was a time, there was a turmoil that this would never have happened. So is this going to be one of those moments where, hey, don't let them together, or are they pretty cool with it?
Oh, we worked with Vinnie Vincent at our Charlotte show a couple of weeks ago, and he really wanted to do more of our events, and he asked us about Indianapolis. I don't think he realized Gene was on it. And so when he asked us, we kind of let him know we had to clear it with Gene, and he understood. And I guess recently at one of Gene's vault appearances, either in Vegas or somewhere, Vinnie, came out and they kind of hung out and met a little bit. So I think there was some sort of a repairing of their relationship already in the works. But we asked Gene if he would have a problem with it. He was totally cool with it. He said, sure, have him on.
That is awesome.
So, yeah, whatever axe needed to be buried is either, mostly buried or completely buried, but they're both going to be appearing together, which is, I think, the first time in I don't know how many years, but it's definitely a momentous occasion, I think.
Definitely so, and any Kiss fan alone should be there just because those two are there. I mean, Vinny was not with Kiss for very long, but he was there long enough, and it was like a major turning point for the band when he was there. But Gene Simmons, of course, being the man that founded the whole band. So let me ask you this. You got also J.J. French from Twisted Sister coming in. Why don't we try to get an impromptu a jam going on? Why don't we try that?
Yeah. I guess all you would need is a drummer.
I guess so. Well, I'd volunteer, but I can't keep rhythm worth a darn. So, no. You play drums?
I don't. I'm a bassist, actually. But, maybe we put them up on stage and then maybe there'll be a drummer in the house to,
there we go.
It's like that every kid's dream where, your favorite band's playing and one of the members goes down and you get to step up and just take over. I can't be the only one that's had that fantasy growing up, right?
Well, I always had the recurring dream of where Eddie Van Halen needed me to fill in for him, and I'd hit the stage and I wouldn't know a single song. So,
oh,
it's like kind of like that high school, going to high school with no pants on thing. So it's a,
right.
We'll have to find somebody, but that would be the coolest thing ever if an impromptu, but it's always just cool to have those guys there. I am very curious to hear Gene Simmons talk. I mean, the guy, his business sense is just phenomenal. That's one thing I'd love to gather some information. I just want to pick that man's brain. So I will definitely be attending any panel he does.
Yeah, no, I'm really stoked. I mean, it's one of those things that's pretty surreal because, a guy like Gene Simmons isn't, you don't just pick up the phone and call Gene Simmons. There's kind of, he has to come to you through whatever means or channels he kind of heard about the show. I don't know fully how that happened, but people in the industry talk, and I guess whoever gave us a good enough review to catch his ear, I thank them because he had his people reach out to us and showed interest in doing the Indianapolis show, and that's essentially how it came together. So that's pretty flattering in and of itself.
Yeah, that is. I didn't realize it that way. Indianapolis is the home of the Kiss convention every year, and I'm sure that's why Indianapolis
The Kiss Army was founded in Indianapolis too, actually.
There's a center point there. And just the fact that he heard about you. I mean, and the guy, he's not just the musician with Kiss. I mean, first of all, he's also a marketer, but that's beside the point. But he does comic books. He does horror movies. He's acting. Every little aspect of what Days of the Dead is about, he's done. He's done parts of it somehow. And I think
I think a lot of people don't know about Gene is that he was a columnist for a lot of the old school early horror rags. Like the, I think he did a lot of, he did a few freelance columns for Famous Monsters of Filmland back in the day when that first started. And I believe he may have even done one or two for, you know, Fangoria in the early days. But he's somebody that's been involved in that culture for a long time. And my understanding is that he can pretty much go toe to toe with anybody when it comes to classic horror trivia and comic books.
Nice. Yeah, definitely so. I mean, the guy's got a history with it. And that's why he went and tried. He ran his own comic book line, like basically Tales of the Crypt, but told through Gene Simmons type thing, you know. And he's a horror fan, too. So it's good to have him there. And I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, you had me already with Days of the Dead. That's all you guys had to say was it's coming back to Indianapolis. But you get Gene Simmons. Oh, and Elvira. You got Cassandra Peterson coming also. There's another classic right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I'm really excited about this year's lineup. You know, and we have the new with, like, the Walking Dead guests and Katie Featherston of the Paranormal Activity series. But you have a lot of the classics, like Elvira. You know, Gene Simmons is somebody that you know, his sort of shadow on pop culture goes back, you know, 40 or so years. You know, it's a very fun mix of celebrity guests, which that's always our challenge, you know, to not only do something that we haven't done before, but do something that kind of appeals to the broad spectrum of horror culture, not just what's going on now, not just, you know, the classic stuff, but, you know, bring a little something for everybody. And, you know, like you mentioned before, the Twin Peaks reunion, that's something we're very excited about that we've never really done. And I'm a big Twin Peaks fan, so that's cool to be able to participate in. And, you know, just give the fans a few new looks that we haven't done in 27, 28 or so shows.
It sounds like this year is like, I mean, they keep getting better each and every year. And this one right here just sounds like it's got the peak. I can't wait to see what you guys do next because you always top the previous year. You're going to have the vendor floor, as always, with the very unique artists and great stuff going on there. But I understand you're going to have a film festival as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been doing the film festival actually since the first show, but it's grown by leaps and bounds since we first kicked it off. And it's basically mostly focusing on the up-and-coming filmmakers and underground horror and stuff. But we also show a few classics. We're doing a special screening of RoboCop with Ray Wise in attendance. A screening of Firewalk with me with some of the cast members of Twin Peaks. So there's a little bit of the classic. There's a little bit of the up-and-coming. We show cartoons on Saturday morning while people are waiting for the doors to open. They can come in with their coffee or or whatnot and hang out and watch some old school cartoons. And it's a little bit of everything. I mean, we, you know, for what people pay to get into the show, we want to do more than just offer you autographs and stuff to buy. So pretty much at any hour of the day, you can either pop into the film room or pop into one of the panel rooms or pop in somewhere and find something going on to take your attention.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just like anybody else, walking around the vendor tables, walking around meeting the celebrities and doing all this. But like you said, the panels, the film festival, I mean, there's more than just that. In fact, that's one of the things people will say, well, what, you know, after about an hour, I've seen everything. I'm like, well, no, you haven't, because panels are going on all day long. You know, and plus, if you get tired after a while, just go sit in one of the panels. Just sit down for a while, relax, and enjoy whatever the conversation is that's being had, or a film. And I'll tell you that a couple of times I've gone to a couple of the films, and ones I'd never, you know, just didn't think I'd ever go to, maybe because you didn't hear about them before. And like you said, you focus on the local filmmakers. And you end up, you go, hey, that was a really good movie, and that was made locally, and it's just a unique experience.
Yeah, well, yeah. One thing that I've always, you know, been really excited about with the film festival, Jason Hoover, who curates all of our films, he's actually a filmmaker himself, and so his finger's really on the pulse of what all is going on in the independent scene, and a lot of the movies that end up screening at Days of the Dead, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, they're the ones that are getting the Netflix distribution. They're the ones that you're seeing on a lot of the top 10 lists at the end of the year for, you know, independent film. And it's pretty cool to see, you know, something that you saw at the show in, you know, February or June ending up as, you know, something that's blowing up in November or December. And then all your friends are kind of asking, hey, did you happen to catch so-and-so? And it's like, oh yeah, I saw it 6 months ago at Days of the Dead. So
yeah, exactly.
That's pretty neat.
It's really a nice thing. Cause it's like, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it like all day, all the time, there's nothing but movies. If you just have to go there at any time you want, there's movies.
Yeah. We actually pared it back a little bit this year just cause it was getting kind of a little overwhelming for Jason having to get up every 2 hours to put in a new movie. But it still goes till about 2 or 3 in the morning on Saturday, wow. 2 or 3 in the morning on Friday. So, yeah, from the time the doors open 5 o'clock on Friday to the time they close 5 o'clock on Sunday, I'd say maybe there's 6 to 8 total hours where there's not something screening over the entire 3 day period. But for the most part, it's kicking off at 8 in the morning and you can wander in and catch something. Or if you're, you know, you're still looking for something to do after last call, you can pop into a movie and catch something.
Yeah, exactly. That's one thing I love about it is that right when it's, you know, time to go home, you don't want to leave yet. Hey, there's still some movies. You can go sit down and watch a movie or two. And yeah, it's a great way to end the day, by the way, after, like I said, walking around, meeting people.
And you know, I was going to say, if I can interject and maybe throw a shout out to our Blue Track, the new that we're doing as well. It's aside from the panels, aside from the film screening room, we actually have a whole other new room with seminars and panels. And we call it the Blue Track. And it's essentially kind of like a one-stop shop for everything independent and creative. They'll do panels on music, they'll do panels on comic books, they'll do panels on we have one that discusses copyright laws for artists and musicians and filmmakers. They have a burlesque show going on Friday. They have, you know, a history of sideshow panel with, you know, different, we have an actual sword swallower that's going to show you how to do that.
Wow.
And it's just like that little added, you know, like as if there wasn't already enough to do right. Days of Dead over the weekend, we threw more stuff at you to just kind of overwhelm you.
I guess so. Wow. Oh, my gosh. It's like I already had it planned out for some of the things, and now I'm like, wait a minute. I can learn how to swallow a sword? This is cool. I might have to squeeze that in my schedule, too. So, oh, man, it's just amazing what you guys do. I mean, a weekend with Days of the Dead, I mean, like I said, it's not your typical – I think you were the first one to use this term a couple years ago. It's not your typical celebrity petting zoo. You know, it's more than that. You've got – film festivals, you got these panels, you got, like you said, things like this going on. It's amazing. I mean, I've never had a bad time at Days of the Dead. So once again, it's this weekend, June 22nd through the 24th. Now, if you're listening to this after June 24th, 2018, because these podcasts stay up forever, if you're listening after that, you missed it, but you can catch it next year about the same time. And you can also maybe catch the Chicago one, which is coming up in November. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It's actually November 16th through the 18th. The weekend before Thanksgiving weekend.
Really?
And we're doing it once again at the Chicago Schomburg Marriott. And we haven't really started announcing guests for that one yet. That'll kick off right after our Indianapolis show. But we have announced one, and that's Mr. Clive Barker, which, you know, I don't think it gets much bigger than that in terms of influence in the horror genre.
Right.
You know, huge influence in the literary world, filmmaking world, and somebody that I'm personally very excited to work with. We got to have him for a day at one of our Los Angeles shows, but to actually have him all weekend in Chicago, which is, you know, our closeout show for the year.
You already got to, like you said, don't announce. Well, I'll just say this: don't announce any people going to Chicago, because wait till I get done with Indianapolis before I get excited about Chicago. Because Clive Barker, I mean, come on, the guy that brought us Pinhead, you know, that's going to be a really nice.
Yeah, and as a cool little bonus, he's actually going to be designing a piece of original art for the show that's going to be printed on some limited edition posters and T-shirts as well. So that's pretty fun. You know, as a fan, it's kind of, you know, I didn't think I'd be able to get over the high of having Gene Simmons at one of our shows. And then, you know, to have Clive Barker at the next one designing a shirt for you, that's pretty rad.
That is awesome. That really is. So, like I said, you guys just keep getting better and better. And holy cow, I love every year of it. So once again, it is this weekend, June 22nd through the 24th. The Wyndham in Wyndham West in Indianapolis, is that correct?
You got it. The Wyndham Indianapolis West.
All right.
It's about 5 minutes or so from the airport.
Easy enough. That way when you fly in, you can just take an Uber over and just spend a couple bucks.
And there you go.
But me, I'll be driving all the way. Actually, it's about a 2-hour drive, but trust me, it's worth it. It is definitely worth the drive every time I go. And let's see, some of the other things going on. Let's talk about 5 p.m. Friday evening. Is that when it starts? Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And then it ends 5 p.m. Sunday evening. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Oh, wow. Okay, I've got it memorized now. So, yeah, I remember one time I came out there and we finished up the day Sunday, and 5 o'clock rolled around, nobody wanted to leave. And I could see why. I mean,
it's kind of for a lot of us, you know, that are in the horror genre. Said it before, but it's kind of like, explain this to your boss on Monday at work. You know, explain this to somebody that's not a fan of this kind of stuff, that, you know, you're going to spend a weekend in a hotel with several thousand strangers, and you're going to have Jason walking around, and you're going to have Michael Myers around the corner, and you're just going to be doing nothing but watching horror movies and talking about horror movies. And like, most people don't understand that. Most people don't get the appeal. I mean, I know anytime I tell a relative or, you know, somebody that's not into the horror movies, they don't get why that's such a good time for you. But, you know, for fans, there's not a lot of things like this that happen. I mean, there's several conventions, but they only happen so many times a year. So when you get that weekend to let your hair down among, you know, fellow fans, it's a real special thing. You know, going back to the real world kind of sucks after that.
Yeah, definitely so. Yeah, I guess that's why nobody wants to leave on a Sunday evening. So, you know, it was last year, as a matter of fact. Last year I got a T-shirt from one of the vendors there. And basically it's the four villains of horror movies. You know, you got Freddy, Jason, Leatherface, and Michael Myers. But they're dressed up as Kiss. And whoever designed the shirt...
Oh, I've seen that with the Kill?
Yes, yes. And I got that last year. And I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And every single time I wear it, someone says, where did you get that? And I always say, Days of the Dead. So it's like... And it's just one of your vendors. It wasn't you guys. It's just one of your vendors.
Yeah, I think the vendor room itself is even just worth the... You know what I'm saying? Like, the vendor room itself, the kind of stuff you see in there, especially Indianapolis. I think Indianapolis has some of the most interesting vendors of any city. And just going in there and wandering through that is worth the price of admission alone, because some of the stuff that I see walking through the aisles, I wouldn't even know where to begin finding something like that anywhere else.
Right, exactly. Very unique items, very talented people. And you know what? And you touched on something a second ago, too, that... The people actually come dressed up, you know, like you said, you'll see Freddy walking around, you'll see Jason, you know, people come dressed up, not just as the major ones, but you also see a little cosplay going on.
Yeah, actually, we have one that's happening on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. And you see some wild stuff in there. And there's people who their talent for creating things from scratch is absolutely, I mean, it rivals some of the stuff that you see.
Oh yeah,
in Hollywood, and you know, you've got some phenomenal cosplayers, you know, participating in that, and just wandering the halls of the show. I mean, that's something that, you know, from the very first show we wanted to really kind of encourage, because, you know, it's a horror convention is a horror convention, but, you know, with the way it ties into Halloween and stuff like that, I mean, we like dressing up, you know, I mean, and why should it just be at one time a year? I mean, wear that costume all year round. Come out and show it off. Come out and assume the role of a villain or monster or whatever you want to do. You know, there's no rules to that, and that's what makes it exciting.
Yeah, you know what? Now you've added one more thing to my list. I did not know that you had a contest. I knew there were people there showed up in cosplay all the time. Now I know. I got one more thing I got to do. Little 3:30 on Saturday is watch the cosplay contest, because yeah, you're absolutely right. There are some very super creative ones. Some originals, some, you know, like their favorite characters, but you're right, better than Hollywood quality sometimes. And it's just amazing just to walking around with people in the costume. So, all right, you've added one more thing to my list.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy weekend, but definitely not one to miss. And, you know, if I could even complicate you further, I'd go ahead and suggest the FX and makeup showdown, which happens right after that. If I'm not mistaken, 5 o'clock or 4:45 on our schedule on Saturday. And essentially what it is, we'll have four sort of amateur makeup artists going on stage. And if you've ever seen Chopped on Food Network, then you kind of understand the gimmick, but they're given a box of mystery items with which to go ahead and create, you know, make a creation of their own. They supply their own models, and they're given an hour to, you know, put something together out of, like, you know, there'll be, maybe there's a tampon in there, maybe there's some some bandages, some fake fur, and, you know, a watercolor set. And, you know, what people do under that kind of pressure with those kinds of, you know, odds stacked against them is incredible. I mean, I got the honor of judging the one that we did in Charlotte, and I was floored, man.
Wow.
I mean, if you wouldn't have told me that they had no access to professional tools, because the stuff that they created was absolutely phenomenal.
Wow, that, okay, you did. You complicated it even more. Now I got one more thing I got to do. But hey, I was planning on staying all the time and just enjoying everything I could anyway, so, all right. Just hope there's no movies conflicting, because I'm going to have to watch a movie or two while I'm there. So. Man, you guys just plan on too much happening.
Yeah, it's true. And people tell us all the time, you know, they get bummed that, you know, there's like two or three different things that they want to do, and it all conflicts, but, you know, it's... you do what you can, you know.
Exactly.
I've always kind of maintained that if you can see everything at a show in 2 hours, then it's not worth hanging out the whole weekend for.
Absolutely right. That's the best way to put that, because that's the way it is with Days of the Dead every year. You can't see it in 2 hours. You can't go 2 hours and leave. You know, I've been to Comic-Cons before in different areas where you go there in an hour, you're done. You don't need to do anything else. There's nothing else left to do. The panels or whatever, you just, you know, but this one here, even if there's not a panel, even if there's not, the film festival, you still have the vendors. I mean, everything you guys got going on is just amazing. And again, it sounds like I'm, you know, trying to blow smoke, but I love the Days of the Dead convention, and every year I'm there, and you guys put on a great show. You got Gene Simmons, you got Elvira, you got Twin Peaks, you got Nightmare on Elm Street. I mean, come on, what better could you ask for? So once again, thanks Adolfo Duarte for putting this show on. Let everybody know that at Days of the Dead that they're appreciated. And I'll be seeing you guys this weekend, June 22nd through the 24th at the Wyndham Indianapolis West. And it's just going to be one of those great shows again. So any closing remarks, anything you'd like to say?
Just, we want to see everybody there, obviously. But, you know, one of the things that I enjoy most with each show is the people that show up for the first time and have a ball, and then they tell you on the way out, you know, we didn't think this was for us. We thought that, you know, a horror convention would essentially be, you know, a gathering of teenagers wearing all black that worship Satan or whatever, and we didn't think there would be a place for us. And, you know, while it is true there are a lot of people that wear black that come to the horror conventions, you also have accountants, you also have doctors, you have lawyers, you have artists, you have stay-at-home moms. I mean, you have all kinds of people from all kinds of walks of life that want to either celebrate, the movies that they grew up with, or just be turned on to new stuff, or, you know, just kind of just explore something out of curiosity. And, you know, if there's one message that I would convey to anybody out there, it's just come and give it a shot. You know, it's anybody's welcome. We're not for just one kind of person. We're for all kinds of people that are into having fun, that are into horror movies and that kind of culture. And you don't have to be a weirdo or you know, wear freaky clothes or whatever to have a good time. Just come out and be yourself, and everyone is always embraced and everybody's always welcome. Mm-hmm. You know, our fans always, they say that it's most like a family reunion, and I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Everybody's a friend that you just haven't met yet at Days of the Dead.
There you go. 100%. Well, you know, before we go, one other thing I completely forgot. Every year you got wrestlers. This year you got NWO wrestlers. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Scott Hall and Kevin Nash are going to be attending on Saturday and doing a special dual photo op. We also have Buff Bagwell, who was also a member of the NWO for a short period of time.
Okay.
And Medusa, who a lot of people will remember for that incident on, I believe it was Nitro, where she threw the belt into the trash can on live television. So there's we always like to represent that angle.
Yeah.
And it's something that we grew up with. It's something that we enjoy. And, you know, it's another little part of the love letter that we write to the sort of things that raised us.
Yeah, exactly. Then that's a beautiful thing that, you know, you got people that like wrestling, you got people that like horror films, and getting them together, it's like, oh yeah, we're supposed to be together. We like things just differently. Yeah. So I wanted to make sure to touch on those guys coming in as well. So again, Adolfo Duarte, Days of the Dead, thank you very much for joining us. And I will be there June 22nd through 24th at the Wyndham Indianapolis West. Thank you, sir. And once again, for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.